So how do you do in that exercise? How do you do? Good?
Yeah.
Learnings, discoveries, questions. Good learning, she said. All the learnings you got.
What, certainly in terms of going between female and male voice,
yeah.
Sharon's got quite a smooth voice. I'm aware that my voice is slightly kind of nasal in terms of the timbre. I'm trying to actually match that. I actually found it very, very good.
Okay. Again, you can handle that with location, because the kind of like more nasally sound comes from voice being created up high up in the throat or here. So actually pulling the voice down and putting your attention more around here will give more of the smoothness to it. So it's just learning about how to move the origins of the voice, if you like. One of the things you can do which can assist you in that is, let's say you wanted to create the voice in your throat. You put your hand on your throat and then move your voice until you feel the vibrations in your throat increase. Or if you wanted to create it from here, then you can move your voice until you feel the vibrations there increase. If you need to get some kind of like physical feedback as to your success. The other thing, and again, you probably only want to do it in private, is you can do the Bee Gees technique, you know? Because if you cut your hand around like this whilst you speak, then you can hear your own voice way more clearly. So then you can hear the changes that you're achieving in your voice more.
Yeah, I'll try that
too. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Hi, how are you? Good to see you.
The other question, which kind of comes again from that exercise, is the intonation, and particularly with accents, particularly Antipodean accents,
yep.
Where there tends to be a rise. And I always think Australians are asking the question all the time.
Absolutely.
How do you match that? Because obviously you don't actually match the accent. How do you match the intonation?
You match the intonation. You're totally right as far as like not matching the accent. Even if you think you can do it perfectly. For most people, I use the word think deliberately as far as that's concerned. But you're quite right. With an intonation pattern that goes like this, as it increases in pitch at the end of the sentence, then in actual fact, the unconscious mind actually takes that as being a question, which is why you're thinking either they're asking you a question or they're not really sure about it. That you get that certainly in Australia, New Zealand, and also certain areas of Canada. You get the same thing. Just to give you the other ones, just straight along like that is taken as just being a straight statement. And then going down in pitch at the end of the sentence is treated by the unconscious mind as a command, which we'll talk more about when we do hypnosis and doing embedded commands. Actually, we'll probably talk about it a little bit tomorrow with the Milton model. So you would match the intonation, but not the accent. That's how you do it. Yeah. So what you can do, and I'm sure everybody, even before you got into NLP, had this experience. You're talking to somebody with a very distinctive accent, and suddenly out of your mouth comes a word that's pronounced in exactly the same way as they do, and you go like, "Oh God, I don't think I'm taking the Mickey out of them or something," and they haven't even noticed. That's just an indication of what happens when you're in really good rapport with people. So you might, without even thinking about it, accidentally match their accent and just let it go. The whole thing around it is it's inappropriate, I think, to deliberately match accents. And it won't really get you any greater result anyway.
Just about Australians in the house, it goes up at the end. Do they still follow that general pattern? But even though they're sort of going up at the end for just general sentences, do they still do the question even more so, or not at all?
Yeah,
have
to ask a question.
I'll ask one. What I do know, because I've trained a lot of people in Australia and New Zealand and Canada as well, actually, the trainings that I've done in California particularly, and what they've all come back and said to me is that when they use the command tonality, it has a massive impact. So what they've actually started doing, and you know, I've been training them as trainers predominantly. So what they've started doing is in their trainings they've started using the command tonality a lot. So in actual fact, all the things that they say will actually go down in pitch at the end of the sentence. Which their feedback is that from their students is that they're far more congruent and solid and all those kind of things. But the students don't know why. But that's what it is. So I don't know what they do to ask a question. I guess they just do the same thing. But certainly the question I normally get is, does the command tonality work with that kind of, with a culture with that kind of accent, intonation pattern? And that, my feedback is that it absolutely does.
What happens when someone is, English isn't their first language, so they're, say, Spanish, which to me sounds really fast, or Polish, which sounds really slow, and how do you deal with that?
They're speaking in English, though, yeah?
Yes.
Okay. I certainly would have a challenge if we were talking Spanish or Polish. So again, you'd match it's one of these examples of matching the structure. So you take the particular characteristics, which we've got on the screen there, the particular characteristics that we're talking about. And match them. So it still works. Yeah, still works.
One thing was, it came as a surprise to me. I was working with Jo, trying to repeat back to Jo, what she was saying. And where I wasn't getting it was, I wasn't getting the voice quality the same, and the enunciation. She's got very clear enunciation. And
right.
I thought, I'll really go for it. And sort of go completely over the top, and that was the best result I got. Although I thought, shit, I actually didn't think I'm taking the Mickey.
Right.
But it wasn't. It sounded perfectly okay to me.
And when you were the client, and somebody got matched your voice perfectly, what did it feel like? It felt really good, doesn't it? It's kind of like, whoa, what was that? You know? Now that's with you guys. You know what's happening. And what happens out there is. The person you're on the phone with gets the same feeling, but they don't know why, so they think it must be something to do with you on the phone. So they definitely pay attention to you, and they warm to you straight away. Your thing about, you know, you're going like totally going for it, what you've got is that to you that sounds like totally going for it because it's so different from how you normally speak. But for your client, it was actually not totally going for it at all, it was right in the right place. Yeah. And the other thing as far as like, are they going to catch me out, or are they going to think I'm taking the Mickey out of them, or that kind of thing. The key thing to remember is that physiology and voice tonality is outside of people's conscious awareness. So unless you do something like completely ridiculous, they're not going to be aware of it. They're not even consciously aware of the sound of their own voice, let alone yours. So what you're doing is the feeling that comes up comes from the unconscious mind. And the unconscious mind, because the unconscious mind is aware of what they sound like, and also aware of what you sound like, and it goes like, oh, they sound just like me. And that's where the good feeling comes from. So that's a good learning. It's around increasing your flexibility. Yeah, good one.
If Richard was to do that, go for voice and then match with somebody, if he then went back into his normal voice, would you be able to lose the rapport?
Well, it's the pace and lead thing, yeah. So what you'll find is that once you've got the rapport and established the rapport, you can then shift your voice back to more and be kind of like normal for you, and the other person will follow you. What you'll tend to find is that you find some kind of like middle ground, which is like neither of you are totally speaking with your normal voice, but you've met in the middle. So again, you do the pace. Go to them first. Then if you like, you can shift. And if you've built enough rapport, they'll come with you. Yeah. So it's exactly the same. Just pacing and leading with physiology.
Yeah. In a group situation, does it become obvious to have
provided you keep it subtle, then they won't be aware of it. Yeah. What I find is most people consciously are using all of their conscious awareness on like, what is she saying to me? And what am I going to say back in reply? And that takes up all their 7 ± 2 chance. So they've got none left to go like, you know, what's she doing with the physiology or voice tonality? Yeah. So as long as you keep it subtle, which is really the key thing for rapport, they won't notice it.
Mine was just an observation around Dolphin. Marilyn was having a conversation to have a go with her car not being ready.
And he matched her tonality just excellently. Yeah. He agreed with that. And she just, she stopped, she paused, she went, what do I say? She was actually ready to have a go, and it just took the wind right out of the
table. Perfect, that's exactly what I was talking about. And it's such a pattern trope.
Yeah.
That people don't have a strategy to it because they wound themselves up and they go, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. Oh. And they don't know what to say. Yeah, it's very, very good.
We had the converse. I got it completely wrong. We have very different voice tones. And she rang up to complain about her dress in the washing machine. And I was I'm so conditioned to go, oh, how can I help you? This kind of stuff. That rather than matching, was it? He said the intensity, not being rude back, but rather than matching the intensity, didn't get there at all. She just carried on. So I just thought she's completely unreasonable, you know what? And it just didn't, I did, I was like, oh, you're such an unreasonable. Because you just did not take the wind out of her at all. Even though I was being really nice, and it's completely changed the way I will deal with people who start on you.
What happens if it's the other way around? Like, I had a situation literally last night on the phone where I was getting really annoyed that the person on the other end of the phone wasn't hearing or listening to me.
Right.
And he was a Spaniard, and he was very kind of, his language was very poor, and he couldn't quite grasp my annoyance. So should I have kind of lowered my tone to meet his tone to get a resolution on the situation? Because if I'd done that, then I felt that we would have been on the phone for like 2 hours and I would, you know, just wouldn't have come to a profitable kind of conclusion.
Did you get to a profitable conclusion?
Well, I might do on Tuesday.
All right, that's an
I don't know.
Okay,
no,
so you haven't yet?
No, okay. Not yet.
So even if you spent 2 hours and built rapport and got to a profitable conclusion, it would have been quicker than Tuesday.
So if I was that kind of irritable person, because he couldn't grasp what I was saying.
Yeah.
How do I get to a positive conclusion without having
build
to wait
report.
Until Tuesday?
Build rapport.
And that would have been matching his incompetence.
That's a mind repeat. You see, the thing you need to remember is the meaning of communication and the response you get. So him not getting your annoyance is like, well, who's not communicating their annoyance effectively? Yeah. So if you think it's his fault and he can't get the annoyance because he's incompetent, then there's no way you're ever going to get the result. Whereas if you go like, I'm annoyed, but I haven't successfully communicated to this person yet that I'm annoyed. So how do I need to communicate differently? That's the way to approach it, because that puts you totally in control. Whereas if you say, I'm not getting the result I want because he's incompetent, actually puts him in control. Because what are you going to do now? He's incompetent.
Well, I didn't tell.
No, I know, but I mean, you go in your head, you've got that. So what are you going to do now? You're going to phone up on Tuesday, he's still going to be incompetent. So what you need to do is communicate with him in a different way to get a result. Because, you know, to be honest with you, you might not care whether you get a result or not. You do, because it's your result. So you need to have the flexibility. And what I find is that once you build rapport with people, they'll do all kinds of things for you. You've got to get rapport with them first. And, you know, if you go and get rapport first and then say what you want, you might be able to get exactly what you want without even getting annoyed. That'd be a bizarre notion. Imagine that. Getting exactly what you want as a complaining customer without getting annoyed. But where's the fun in that? I'm just kidding. I think go and scream at somebody else instead.
One of the ones we found in the training was that I found it's much more difficult to match the voice when I didn't believe what I was saying. So Phil said Chelsea was the greatest football team in London.
And well, at least he put it down just to London.
it was very hard to match that. Is that always the case? Can you do that through training?
He's totally inflexible.
You said that to him on purpose, didn't you?
Is that always the case? You can't, when you don't believe the actual content,
certainly your voice, I mean, that's another thing that you can learn from calibration, as an example, is that people's voice tonality does change when they're saying something that is true and something that's not true. I mean, one of the biggest kind of like misunderstandings of NLP is IPAND. Because I hear people like, oh yeah, IPAND, you can tell when somebody's lying with IPAND, can't you? And I go like, well, how would you do that? Well, you know, so you ask somebody a question and they've got an individual construct, then you know that they're lying. Well, you don't necessarily, because that just might be their strategy for getting the information for you. But with calibration, and this is actually what customers and excise officers are trained in, is the training calibration. And calibrating between on the physiology and voice tonality between something that they know is true and something they know is not true. Then they ask the questions they're interested in, and they're not listening for the words, they're looking at the physiology and the tonality. So what you've got is, like, you couldn't get the tonality with something that you know, fundamentally, you know, went against your values. I mean, somebody violates your football value. I mean, you can do a lot with NLP, but I mean, you know. Any other questions about voice matching?